Welcome, my friends. Bo Snerbly's Rush Hour, the Tuesday edition. If you would like to be part of the program today, 800-848-9222 is the number to call. 800-848-9222. Stories that are big today. Two are dominating the news. One is what is happening on American college campuses, not just here in New York, in the New York metropolitan area, but also across the country. The young liberal students are in an uprising. They are occupying property of the colleges that they attend, and in some cases they're being arrested. Good. Now, what isn't happening, and I tweeted this out earlier, I don't see any legislation. I don't see any legislation from Republicans that would acknowledge what is happening on American college campuses. Like, what kind of legislation are you talking about? Well, I'll try this one for starters. Maybe, just maybe, Republicans should put out some legislation that says something like this. If you are arrested and convicted of trespassing while you're protesting on a college campus, if you're convicted of these sorts of crimes, we're not going to repay you. We're not going to let taxpayers pay off your student loans. Maybe it's time to tell these pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist, and they are not all pro-terrorist. There is a faction of them that clearly are. There are others that are rightly concerned with the bloodshed, and I get that. That will happen in any war. You will find people that say, you know, this war shouldn't be happening, that war shouldn't be happening, too much bloodshed. I get that. That's been a part of human history. But there is a faction, and they're very vocal, that is simply pro-Hamas. There's no other explanation for the statements that they make and what they're doing. And those people, those children on American college campuses that are misbehaving should be dealt with firmly, period. Throw them in jail. Stop paying their student loans off. They shouldn't be paid off anyway with taxpayer dollars, but especially if you are convicted, arrested of some of these colleges of being vandalized. Some of these protesters are getting, and I have a suggestion to the youngsters that are protesting. If you feel you are not being heard, if you feel your feelings that no one's really listening to you, you need to wait until the Democrats go to Chicago. The entire Democrat, and that's what's happening. These colleges, why, they're not, most of them are not in Republican areas. They're in blue states. They're in Democrat-controlled states. These police that are being called on you protesters, why, these are police that are being called by your Democrat-elected officials. They're sicking the police. The police that you wanted to be defunded are funded, and they're coming to take you away off of the college campus that you are trespassing on. And if you feel feelings, if you feel that you're not being heard, if you feel ignored, if you feel that no matter how hard you try to protest and advocate for Hamas and the terrorists, and you're still not being heard, wait until the summer, and when the Democrats meet, go to Chicago. Make sure that they're there. All of the politicians that are responsible for not listening to you protesters, they will be in Chicago. Joe Biden will be in Chicago. Jill Biden will be in Chicago. Kamala Harris will be in Chicago. Yes. And all of these Democrats, They're all going to show up there. Why, I bet Kathy Hochul even shows up there. Maybe even Eric Adams will put in an appearance. And Gavin Newsom, certainly to be there. You know, all those colleges out in California. So for all of you protesters, you Democrat Party protesters, you liberal protesters going to these liberal schools that are just not listening to you, you have to organize and go to Chicago when the Democrats are holding their convention. And when all the Democrats are there together, if you people, and this is what you guys need to do on the left, you need to make sure that this is the biggest protest in human history. Not just, you need to start organizing now. You need more protesters on the streets in Chicago than there are Democrat politicians and Democrat wannabe electors and representatives and all of that stuff, delegates. You need to outnumber the delegates, you know, 10 to 1. You have to show them who's boss. You have to go to Chicago. There should not be one hotel room available in Chicago. You should be there in such numbers that some of these Democrats have to go out of town to find a hotel room. Go and protest there where all of your elected officials are. Start planning now to be in Chicago and protest loudly in Chicago. Peacefully, I say, peacefully, but loudly. Let your voices be heard when the Democrats meet in Chicago. Now, the daughter of Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, you know, and some of you people, by the way, are not nice. I'm not speaking to you protesters right now. I'm speaking to some people on our side. And I say this with due respect and all that, because, you know, I don't want to chastise people on the right, on our side. But I just have to say, there's a small faction of you people that are not nice. The other day when Ilhan Omar said she was homeless, I suggested that because she was been, you know, thrown out of her room, her $90,000 Bernard College dorm or whatever, and the poor child said she was hungry and she was homeless, I suggested on social media that Isra Hirsi, that would be the daughter of Ilhan Omar. I don't know how the last name thing works there. The mama's name is Omar. The daughter's name is Hirsi. Okay with me. Whatever. Anyway, I suggested that she go to mommy and daddy to get some help. I mean, she's a 21-year-old girl. She says that she is, you know, homeless and hungry. So why shouldn't she go to her mommy and daddy for help? Well, a very small number of you took those comments and ran with it. But they kept saying things like she should go to her uncle daddy, her uncle daddy. And that phrase kept being repeated. And it's not nice. Her uncle daddy. There's no proof that he's her uncle daddy. And so I just would like to caution people to, you know, unless we have the facts, let's refrain from that sort of thing. I mean, people do believe, and it's been reported, that Representative Ilhan Omar married her brother in order to get into. But no, I have not seen the proof of that. And I don't think anyone else has. We haven't seen 100% verified, yep, that's what happened. So far, this has been a rumor that has been swirling around now for years. So to call the poor girl's daddy, uncle daddy, is just not appropriate yet. Okay, anyway, the daughter of Representative Ilhan Omar said she and others were sprayed with chemical weapons. Chemical weapons while protesting the Israel-Hamas war in Gaza at Columbia University. Isra Hirsi told PMSNBC on Monday she believes there is some hypocrisy in the way the university is punishing the pro-Palestinian demonstrators when compared to the treatment of counter-protesters. I have not seen counter-protesters occupying the property or vandalizing any of the property. I haven't seen it. Doesn't mean it's not happening. There are no news stories about the counter-protesters doing those things. But Ms. Hirsi says this is 100% targeted. Every single protest that we have, there's a group of counter-protesters that bring all of their items, their flags and things like that. And they're not seen as having unsanctioned protests or really receive the kind of disciplinary warnings that many of our fellow organizers receive just for being at those protests. And so there's definitely some hypocrisy here, especially you can kind of see it with the students that were sprayed with the chemical weapons. Now, this was news to me. I didn't know that chemical weapons were being used on students. Tisk, tisk, tisk. I wonder what kind of chemical weapons are being used. Meanwhile, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is touting her support for openly anti-Semitic campus agitators and their leadership. That story in the Daily BS today, with Jewish students being openly bullied, harassed, and threatened on elite Ivy League college campuses while being denied entry to attend class, U.S. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and other members of the hard left squad are defending the anti-Israel student activist responsible for the anti-Semitic behavior. And that's that story. There is also a story about the donations that Columbia faculty, the vice dean, they've donated, apparently, to Democrat representatives Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, over 22,000 in the last three election cycles, and nearly 9,000 this cycle. These are some of the teachers over the faculty over at Columbia University. Other protest news, Google has fired more workers. Google isn't playing. No. Google fired at least 20 more workers. They got rid of a bunch the other day, almost, I think, 20. They said 18 or 20. Now they came back and they're taking a second swipe, bringing the total number of terminated staff to more than 50. That's what a group representing the workers said. Google fired 20 more staffers, including non-participating bystanders. This was that big protest they had on Google. Google's upset that some of these protesters that Google and Israel has, you know, account relations with Israel. So they held a No Tech for Apartheid rally. They did their little sit-in, and they were sitting around with their little mask on like the pandemic was still going on. And Google, I guess they figured it out, mask or not. They figured out who these unhappy employees were, and they relieved them of their duties. And now they've come back for a second round of them. Google is sweeping clean. Google also says that they've carefully confirmed every single one of those whose employment was terminated was personally and definitively involved in disruptive activity inside our buildings. And they are saying, in so many words, we ain't going to put up with it. They're done. Fired. Bye. Riddance. See you later, alligator. Don't smile, crocodile. Let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. You're out of here. What's this, Diego? What we got here?
This is Get Back by the Beatles, which on this day in 1969 were number one on the UK charts. And they credited the Beatles and Billy Preston, who was the fifth Beatle, playing keyboards on this. I actually learned this this keyboard solo for an audition for a band in high school, and I got the I passed the audition, and after the audition, I made that the joke at the end, and I did pass the audition. So
cool. Get Back. WABC Talk Radio 77-800-848-9222. Keep it right here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Rush Hour is on the air. Attention Ditto Heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Rush
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
'83. David Bowie starts 3 weeks at number one. The album is Let's Dance. And of course, this one also went to number one as a single. One of my favorite, this is probably my favorite Bowie album. Although Bowie had, of course, so much great music. Yes, A Little China Girl. Yeah, we got to hear some more of this later, Diego. I like that. We can play a little more of this later. I like this song so much. All right, MTG is back in the news. There's a story today in thehill.com. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene is escalating her threat to remove Speaker Mike Johnson from power, but she faces a steep climb if she hopes to achieve that goal. Not only has the speaker recently received a glowing review from former President Trump, the GOP's presumed presidential nominee, but Democrats remain ready to rescue Johnson from a conservative queue. On top of that, many of the conservatives most frustrated with Johnson's leadership style are opposing a motion to vacate, leaving Green with only the barest GOP support for her removal resolution. My judgment and estimation is that this is not the right time to do that, says Representative Bob Good of Virginia. By the way, he's facing a challenge. He's up, and he's got some challenges. He's the head of the Freedom Caucus. Not that Johnson is out of the woods. He infuriated conservatives such as Green and Good for months by reaching across the aisle, bloody, 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 blah. She's got her work cut out for you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, she's also in the news. Daily Mail has this story on MTG. Marjorie Taylor Greene claims Democrats are planning to have Donald Trump murdered in jail by locking him up and taking away his Secret Service protection. Wow. Yep, that's what she says. MAGA conservative Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene believes Democrats are conspiring to have former President Donald Trump murdered in jail and are attempting to strip his presidential secret service detail in order to accomplish that goal. Now, Johnson, the guy that headed up that phony baloney January 6th committee, the guy from Mississippi, he and others are talking openly about trying to come up with a bill that would strip someone that is convicted of a felony Secret Service protection. They're banking on Donald Trump being convicted, and then they want to, Democrats do want to strip his Secret Service prediction. So, Marjorie Taylor Greene went on InfoWars with controversial host Alex Jones to make the claim. InfoWars. You know, the show, the guy that says that the Sandy Hook massacre didn't happen, that one. Him. Yeah. Okay, Margie. Let's see. Oh, this is great news. Just the other day, I went on a rant, a tear. I was very upset because Representative Mike Lawler, Republican, was attacking Republicans again. And I just asked, when is this guy going to ever just use the same vitriol that he has for his own party to attack Democrats? Well, here it is, my friends. It's happened. Freshman Representative Mike Lawler and other New York Republican lawmakers and congressional candidates laid into their Democratic opponents this week for keeping quiet about anti-Semitic protests at Columbia University. And Lawler spokesman Chris Russell says, Mondaire Jones' complete silence about the horrific anti-Semitism unfolding at Columbia and other college campuses speaks volumes about how little he actually cares for the Jewish community. Let's not forget that Congressman Mondaire Jones has said that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez inspires him and that he has great respect for Pramila Jayapal and that Congress needs more people like Jamal Bowman. So, Republican actually going after a Democrat through a spokesman, but still going after a Democrat. Oh, Adam is on the line, and I want to take Adam's call as soon as we get back because I do want to talk about the Trump case. And his question will lead me directly into what I want to ask about the Trump case. It's a perfect question. Well, he wants to comment. He wants to comment about David Pecker. But that will take me right into what I want to talk about with the Trump case. Discussing the Pecker and the Trump. All right, explain.
We got to stop. Today is the birthday of Dale Houston, if you live in New York, American singer who, along with performance partner Grace Bruce, oh man, I'm not going to get it. Broussard. She hit the Billboard chart as Dale and Grace with two rock and roll singles. First was I'm Leaving It Up to You. And then this one, Stop and Think It Over, which reached number 8 in 1964. Happy birthday, Dale Houston.
Boom, on WABC Talk Radio 77. Time to check in with Kim Commando and with traffic. Who's doing traffic today?
Today it's our very own Liz Radabali doing traffic.
Liz Radabali going to bring us the traffic news. And then we're going to check out Kim Commando, and we're coming back your calls. We're going to talk about the Pecker, and we're going to talk about the case. Keep it right here, 800-848-9222. So many hearts are in
pain. Just like... I hear you pass, I It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly.
Hey, 1960, Steve Clark, guitarist with Def Leppard, had so many hits. 1988, Love Bites was a big one. Oh, this poor guy passed away. 30 years old, excessive alcohol consumption with prescription drugs. They don't mix. Anyway, heavenly birthday, we hope. Steve Clark with Def Leppard on WABC. Okay, we promised telephones. Oh, before we get to telephones, I've been told during the break that tonight is a big night in thug ball. I'm sorry, in basketball. It's not thug ball anymore. It's not. That's my nephew TJ. It's not thug ball anymore. Okay, whatever. Basketball. It's been okay. Now, Carlos and TJ, Bob, I got them both here in my ears. What is happening in the NBA?
Big night tonight for the NBA playoffs. We have huge night. We have Milwaukee Bucks playing the Indiana Pacers.
That's big.
We have
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Playing Indiana. No offense to those in Indiana, but I mean, really?
We have the Phoenix Suns playing the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Wait a minute, what state is Phoenix in again?
Arizona.
Okay, so some people out in Arizona are playing some Timberwolves.
Some wolves, yeah.
Some wolves.
Yeah, I mean, you can put it that way.
From what state? Montana?
No, Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. Protest could erupt there. Okay, that might be interesting. And what else?
And finally, we got, we have the Dallas Mavericks, playing the LA Clippers.
The who?
Los Angeles Clippers.
Like nail clippers?
Clippers?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the other team in Los Angeles besides the Lakers. Let's put it that way.
Oh, Clippers. Who names a basketball team after some boats from the 18th century?
I don't know.
Oh, well, there you go. A good old San Diego team.
Crazy night tonight.
Playing who?
Oh, they play Mavericks from Dallas.
Can't wait.
Texas Dallas.
Yeah, can't wait to see that one. Yeah, that's big, big. The next thing you know, you're going to tell me the Knicks are in the playoffs. Yeah.
I mean, the Knicks made the, Philadelphia Sixers. They beat them last night.
They
beat the Philadelphia 76ers last night.
They did?
They did, on a buzzer beater.
Wait a minute. Wait, the Knicks are in the playoffs?
The Knicks are in the playoffs.
I'm not kidding. Don't know something I want to. The Knicks are in the playoffs?
The city is shaking. I'm sorry.
Because the Knicks are... No, 1973 is right. I used to watch the Knicks back when they had a basketball team. Well, that's when I used to watch basketball. They have one now. Yeah, okay. Next thing you tell me, the Knicks are going to be the champions.
Maybe.
Oh, but I can't wait to watch the Clippers play the Timberwolves and the whatever else. Okay. Thank you for the basketball update here. Let's go to the Adam in Mineola, New York. Adam, how are you?
How are you, sir? I'm all right. I'm okay.
Good. So you've been watching the trial. Well, paying attention to the trial, I take it.
Yes, sir.
And good. Tell me your thoughts.
David Pecker.
Pecker. Yes, Pecker.
A billionaire. Talk to me about Pecker. He ain't got nothing. That's a good witness against him.
Okay, and so what is Mr. Pecker saying that's so good?
Yeah, yes, him and Trump was doing the catch and kill scheme.
Yeah, what's that? What's the catch and... Go ahead. What's the catch and kill scheme?
Killing negative stories about him.
Killing
negative stories about Trump. Yeah.
Okay. And? Yes?
And You know, so, you know, that's going to be the link to make Michael Cohen's testimony look like gold.
That they were killing negative stories about Trump.
Yep.
Yep.
That's part of it.
That's part of it. Okay. You know, in fact, what you're saying is verified by what I'm reading in the press of the trial. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is explosive. This is explosive, Adam. It goes right along with what you're saying. The sixth day of Donald J. Trump's criminal trial got off to a dreadful start for the former president on Tuesday as the judge questioned his lawyer's credibility, blah, 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 blah. But here we go. And a key witness, that would be Pecker. Mr. Pecker pulled back the curtain on what prosecutors say was a conspiracy to influence the 2016 presidential election. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Good. Now I have a question for you. We agreed that this is correct, right? You said Mr. Pecker was involved with Donald Trump. They wanted to kill negative stories about him, right? And this is all a conspiracy to influence the election, correct? Do I have that right, Adam?
No, it wasn't a conspiracy. They did do that, sir.
They did it. They did it. They had a conspiracy to influence the election, correct? Is that right? Fact, right?
They carried it out, sir.
Yes, they did. Okay, now I have a question for you. Do you know, Adam, do you know what we call a conspiracy by these people to influence an election? Do you know what, there's a term for that. Do you know what we call it?
What?
A campaign. That's what? It's a campaign. Now, I want to buttress that statement by asking you to search deep into your memory. Do you happen to remember the book Primary Colors?
No.
Okay, let me refresh your memory. Long about the time that Bill Clinton and those people were in the White House back then, that little book came out by an anonymous author. We later found out who it was. It was a journalist. And it was all about the Clinton campaign. And this book was called Primary Colors. And in this Primary Colors book, they went through all of it. There was a conspiracy back then, too, you see, Adam, to influence the campaign. What happened back when Bill Clinton was elected was that there were stories about the dalliances of Bill Clinton. This was a guy that could not keep his pecker where it was supposed to be. His pecker had been in a lot of places, and people on the Clinton campaign thought that that would negatively influence the campaign. So they came up with a catch-and-kill strategy. And you know who was in charge of the catch-and-kill strategy? Why, it was none other than Hillary Clinton. They called it the Bimbo's Eruption Unit, and I'm not kidding. They wanted to make sure that none of these bimbos would come out with stories about what Bill Clinton did to them sexually. And they had Hillary in charge of it, the candidate's wife, to make sure that they could catch all these stories before they got into the national press, and they could kill them. Now, when the Clintons say kill them, it's a little bit different, but I don't want to get into that. That's a side story, because when these people say kill them, they mean kill them. But that's a whole different story. That's right. They mean Arkansas. But here's what happened. That book was so popular, they turned it into a movie. And you can go watch the movie tonight if you want to spend a few bucks and you search it out. You can find it on demand. It's called Primary Colors. It got John Travolta and a few other people in it. I think it's John Travolta. But anyway, we got a whole lot of people in it. And it's all about, it's a fictionalized account of the Bill Clinton race. But this stuff really happened. So what, Adam, I'm telling you and I'm telling everybody else, this ain't nothing new. This is called politics in America. You catch and kill stories that are bad for your candidate, and of course you trying to influence the election. It's called a presidential campaign, boy. That's what it's called. We've been having these things since the beginning of time in America. Well, since the beginning of America, we've had catch and kill stories. We try to kill the stories that are bad for the candidate, and we try to catch them before they can get out there. Ain't nothing new here under the sun. It's called politics. That's what it's called. And Bill Clinton, if we're going to get Donald Trump for this conspiracy, then I'm telling you, somebody need to go back right now and go get Hillary and haul her behind into a courtroom and make her answer for running the bimbo eruptions unit for the Bill Clinton campaign, because they did the same thing. Ain't nothing new here, and this ain't no crime. It never has been a crime, and it never will be a crime. It's called politics in America. And on that happy note, we bid you adieu, and we're going to check in with Lou Dobbs, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Whitney Houston. Oh, this is Thelma. I know Thelma. 1977, Thelma Houston goes to number one in the United States of America. This song has been covered many times since. Don't leave me this way. Bo Snerdley's Rush Hour on WABC Talk Radio 77. Eight. Those of you that remember primary colors, back up your host on this. Educate the rest of America. There is nothing new here.
Rush.
It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdley on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
WABC Talk Radio 77.
I know it's been some time, but there's something on my mind.
You know the voice.
Since I haven't been the same since that cold November day.
Whitney Houston, 1988. Smashes a chart record held by the Beatles and the Bee Gees. Where Do Broken Hearts Go? Becomes her seventh consecutive U.S. number one single. Here on WABC, Talk Radio 77. Now, folks, I'm making light of it, but I'm not kidding. This Trump case is absolutely absurd. The idea that there is a conspiracy to influence the election. Think about that for a moment. Of course there is a quote-unquote conspiracy. There are a group of people who are working to influence the election. It's called a political campaign. They happen every year, and not just for president. And if there are negative things about the candidate, what does the campaign do? They try to find out what they are early. That's why you have opposition research. They're trying to find it early so they can get it into the news. The presidential or whatever campaign it is trying to find out. They know what the dirt is, and they're trying to keep it out of the news. This is part of a political process that has been going on in this country since the formation of this country. There is nothing illegal about it. This is all part and parcel of politics. And I'm not kidding. Go back and look at primary colors. Look at what the Clintons did. And Hillary led the group that was in charge of finding out all of these women, they called them bimbos, that could possibly come out of the woodwork and talk about what Bill Clinton had done to them sexually, and they wanted those stories squelched. And that's why you have people like James Carville running around. Anybody remember what he said about Paula Jones? Yeah, you can wave a $100 bill and then a trailer park and find some. And all the feminists, no one complained when they were attacking women. In fact, the Clintons had another campaign, and it was a derogatory name that I'm not even going to, it's called, I'm sorry, this is a quote, it is a political quote, I'm not making it up. The operation was called Nuts and Sluts, And what they did was try to make any woman that would appear to come out and say Bill Clinton had done something to her, they tried to cast that woman as a nut. And that was the term for it that they used inside the campaign. There is nothing illegal about any of this. This case is an embarrassment that New York would actually be holding a case defining a political campaign as a conspiracy that is somehow criminal is absurdity. And that these people will stop at nothing to try to destroy Donald J. Trump. And this testimony, so-called testimony, is proof of it. Anybody that has been a political observer for decades understands that this is all part and parcel of what it takes to put on a national campaign. Period. It's time.
James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, presents Rapid Phones.
Debbie in Staten Island, you're up first. What's on your mind this afternoon?
Bo, as far as these colleges are concerned, I think the donors and the parents should pull their kids out of these colleges. If they were educational institutes, they wouldn't have these pro-Palestinian protests. And St. John's University has advocated for a pro-Palestinian club, but they don't want to advocate for pro-life. Parents better smarten up. Let's go back to the old adage, action speaks louder than words and money talks.
Boom. Thank you, Debbie. Andrew in New Jersey, quickly.
Yeah, James Carville lying about sex. That ain't lying. I'm just surprised Biden, he's not claiming to be Jewish or that he or his family was in the IDF. Thanks.
Yet. Give Biden time. You never know what's going to come out of that mouth. Sandra in New Jersey, you are up next.
Hi, James. So Barnard is a part of Columbia, but they have independent admission, independent curriculum, independent financials. And that part of the school is not putting up with this nightmare that's going on in all the colleges. That's where Isra Hirsch got arrested. But her mother, who is very proud of her behavior, is shocking. Not shocking, not surprised at all. But what I want to say is because of Isra, all these Jewish students stay home. And what I'm trying to say is I think the parents should sue these schools, just like the other woman said.
All right. We got to go, folks. May God bless and protect each and every single one of you, your families, your loved ones. Love and gratitude for your being here with me, allowing me to be with you. God willing, we are back tomorrow at 4 p.m. for the Wednesday edition of Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. Until then, my friends. Bye.